Hey everybody, and welcome to Authors and Dragons, where a group of comedic fantasy writers get together and try to make it through a whole game of Pathfinder without accidentally dying. Let's see if we pull it off this week. As always, the odds do not look great.
Hi, I'm John Hartness, and I'll be playing the role of Fandingo the Fantastical, our ever-charming, witty, dashing bard. In real life, I write a bunch of different series, including Quincy Harker, Demon Hunter, Bubba the Monster Hunter, and the Black Knight Chronicles. And my newest standalone novel, Fireheart, will be releasing on August 14th and is available for pre-order now, and the price goes up after release day.
Hi, I'm Rick Gualtieri, and I play Silas Kane, the newly semi-forgiven Paladin of Toreg. And in real life, I write the Tome of Bill horror comedy series, and I also have a bunch of new stuff coming out soon, including Lycan Moon, which should be out around mid-August, and hopefully will be up for pre-order very soon.
Hello, my name is Robert Bevan. I play the role of Klaus Richter, Notorious Rogue. In real life, I write the Caverns and Creatures series of comedy, fantasy, lit RPG novels, and short stories, starting with the first book, Critical Failures.
Hey there, I'm Steve Weberall. I play Brandon Fymaster, the glittery bald monk. In real life, I write the comedy fantasy series, The Doomsayer Journeys.
My name is Drew Hayes. I am the CEO of this shit corporation, and I am the DM as well, and that I guide these crazy bastards around. In real life, I write books such as Superpowered, NPCs, Forging Hephaestus, and the newest book in the Fred the Vampire Accountant series, The Fangs of Freelance, which, since I'm talking about it in the past while you're hearing it in the future, I can say, and it's not untrue, that it might be a major motion picture adapted by now. Huh? Okay, it's not, but it's still fun to read, so check it out. And this week, Authors and Dragons is actually sponsored by someone, and you can sponsor us too if you want to reach out to us. We do that thing. We are sponsored by Beneath, the upcoming dungeon crawl game by Dark Hand Games. Up to four players can each take control of a dwarven hero and lead them into the dark and dangerous mines beneath Stonewatch. Their goal? To survive and find riches beyond belief, enough to make them a king by their own hand. Learn more at www.facebook.com/darkhandgames. Also, if you give a shit, it is featuring content written by our own Rick Gualtieri.
Yay!
Oh, well, right off that shit. Never mind.
Yeah. And when last we left our intrepid adventurers, Klaus had found an axe, and they had killed some tigers. Bjorg wanders off to go make a wreath to properly mourn Kutharik, since his last wreath gave him the spots and the itching. But you pay
like
him no mind,
day.
Because you are standing in front of a city! Well, kind of. I mean, it's a small town on an island, but there are a lot of buildings, a lot of things all clustered around the little outlet to the sea. And you can even make out a small little air... not a mall. You can even make out a sort of pier structure in which a bunch of different buildings are set up running along across the water. It's sort of in a cove protected by, looks like, mountains from storms. So that is what you see.
Sweet.
All right. Well, who's in charge of not letting Silas talk to anyone? Not it.
He's silently proselytizing, isn't he?
Yes.
Oh, okay, good.
I mean, if you don't think this is a good idea, I'm more than happy to like.
No, no, I think silent proselytizing is.
I didn't think it was a good idea, but I failed my check to convince him otherwise.
I still think it's an excellent idea. Probably the best idea. But I am cynical as to whether it will work. That remains to be seen.
So, there's a bunch of shops and shit. Does anything
have... We're here. Go ahead.
Does anything have, like, a... I don't know, a sign over the thing that might indicate that there's something magical inside?
Well, to see something as specific as a sign, you might have to roll a perception check. In fact, you might all have to roll perception checks.
I'm looking for a top hat and a wand.
Yeah, pretty much.
Picture of a box being sawn in half.
All right. And Dingo rolls a 17.
Silas silently percepts 14.
Klaus rolls a 2.
Brandon Fymaster rolls a natural 20.
You see all the signs.
I want to see every single sign.
You kind of do. So you can see that although there's a lot of housing and like some farming areas on the mainland, it looks like all of the shopping is sort of being threaded out onto those piers that run across the water within the cove. So you guys kind of approach that, and as you do, you get close enough for your perception checks to kick in. And you see a small structure of piers. You can see it on the map. There's one at the very front that just sort of has like a sign in a language you can't read. Not shocking, seeing as you're not from here. As you kind of see it stroll down, you see a sign with just has like a mug and a loaf of bread kind of etched into it. So you can pretty much figure out, this is probably where I can eat and drink and maybe sleep. And then you go over to the next one, you see a big ship kind of etched into it. Then as you stroll down, further down the pier, it separates. There's one that's larger than the other that has a big old sword and shield on it. And then across the way, there is another building that has a picture of an orb with kind of smoke scrawled into it. And then at the very end behind the orb and smoke one is a tower that looks very out of place. Like, these are all sort of positioned on pontoons that are, you know, creating floating structures. But the tower looks like it's shooting up from under the cove and kind of winding its way high into the sky. You, with a natural 20, you can probably see enough to figure out that the structures were built around the tower, not vice versa.
Do I see any carnies at all at this seaside location?
To be clear, by carny, you mean carnival worker?
Yes. Is that a D&D class in itself? Or
it's a legendary class. You have to kill a god to become one.
Maybe I was picturing a whimsical sort of seaside pier town.
Oh, you're trying to possibly short. Not. I gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think we're on the Santa Monica Pier, bro.
Well, that's disappointing.
What's the British version of the Jersey Shore?
Are there people walking around?
Geordie Shore.
Corby, I think, is the British version of the Jersey Shore.
That actually exists. It's terrible. You should check it out.
Oh, no. Geordie Shore.
The Carnies of Dover.
Nice.
That's like an Eric Johnson guitar song, right?
If I have to ever name a band of pirates for you all to go up against, I've got my name.
All right. We picked up some magical items. Like, I got this glove that makes shit float. I'd kind of like to have somebody tell me what it really is.
Well, that's a good idea. I got a rock or something.
You're the Charlie Brown. Yeah, that's why I was thinking a magical joint. So maybe the place with the orb and smoke?
Yeah, I'm easy.
Well, we know that, but do you want to go there? That's what you were saying. Never mind.
The Isle of Wight Carnies.
Why has it always got to be a race thing?
In England, we have an Isle of Wight. It's part of our deeply racist history.
Yeah, well, Bevan had one too. That's why I left Mississippi. All right, I want to go to the magic shop. Who's coming with me?
Sure.
Yeah.
Are we the only people on this pier, or are there people walking around doing business?
There are some people kind of going to and fro, but it's pretty late at night. As you guys remember, you were just kind of getting in. And so, you know, it's starting to kind of shutter down for the day.
All right. Well, the first person we come across, I will walk up to them, point to my, like, you know, my symbol of Toreg, and then stare at them while silently thinking thoughts of Toreg at them. Intensely.
Very, very
feels
pretty.
More like a peer already. Excellent.
That's very nice. It's very nice.
I'm so happy we came here to alleviate Joe's grieving and then ditched him.
Well, Bjorg must be, you know, some people are
Bjorg, Bjorg, sorry.
Okay, well, for you guys to get to the magic shop, I mean, you can all see the map. You have to go down through the...
We don't know it's a magic shop. It's just a picture of an orb and smoke.
True.
It might just be
to
like
get to
a
the
really
orb shop. You have to go through.
Yeah, they might sell snow globes.
Yeah, yeah. Red shop and or... the ship shop.
Ooh, that's I was thinking ski ball. I mean, that would be fitting.
Smoke bomb.
It does appear. Yeah. What's this first place we got to go through?
Mug of ale and a loaf of bread etched into the sign.
There's
also one place
there.
To remember that you didn't understand the sign.
Actually, can I do a linguistics check?
I guess it is technically possible. Yeah, give me a linguistics check.
All right.
I don't think that's a skill, though.
It is.
Oh, is it? They kept that?
Yeah.
Oh,
yep.
All right. Bad, I get some weird shit. Yeah, linguistics. All right.
Yeah, I trained in it. I'm a bard.
I don't know. I like just making up our own shit. I mean, like the thing with that orb and like the smoke. I'm like, it's a combination skee ball hookah shop.
I would totally open one of those.
Yeah, that works.
I don't tell me that fucking.
So we've got this kind of walk through bar then.
We're gonna make a willpower check.
All right. Fandango rolls a 19 for his linguistics check.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I still have a d20 on my desk from the last time my fucking computer wasn't worth a damn.
And you have linguistics trained?
Yes.
Okay. That fits your character well enough that I will allow it. So, Fandango, you have a set number of languages, so you don't speak this one, but it's similar enough to the ones you know that you're able to start sort of piece together... like what you're seeing. It's a very ancient dialect, which, you know, fits what you know about this place. It's hard to get to, so civilization would have had to evolve slowly over time.
Oh, wait, sorry. Apparently the skill is untrained.
Ooh. Then, if you don't have linguistics, 19 is good enough that you think it is derivative of an ancient human alphabet.
All right. It's old-ass language.
Well then, guys, we nearly read a sign.
All right, let's go get drunk. Celebrate.
Where are all these signs you guys are talking about?
Stop looking at your Ron Weasley.
I think he's looking at his axe hand.
Yeah.
By the way, Klaus, you feel great, man. Like that fight with the tigers never happened.
Yeah, Ron Weasley Jeremy is curled up around the handle, and we're ready to go kick some ass.
It seems Brandon just has, like, visible bite marks on his head at this point.
Just, like, reaching over, trying to put a finger on the axe to see if it heals him.
Dude, look, but don't touch.
God, that's how it feels.
Don't be stroking another man's hat, without permission.
So, to be clear, you guys are going to the place with the mug of ale on it. I'm not surprised, I'm just making sure.
Yeah.
Well, absolutely. We gotta pass through, and it'd be rude not to stop and have one.
And since it's late at night, you know, we might need a couple.
It is technically drinking time.
These shops are probably all closed anyway, it's fine.
Okay, so you guys roll into the... It's an inn and a tavern. I'll just tell you outright. It's very clear from as soon as you walk in. There's a couple of people drinking. It's, you know, still kind of in that transitional time. And I see a bartender who's just sort of wiping down his bar, and he sees you walk in, and he looks and nods, and he, like, jerks his head back up. Oh, well, strangers! I haven't had you in a while.
I don't think you've had me ever, but, sure. Whatever, bro.
Is he human, or is he another one of those fish weirdos?
No, he's human.
You speak the common tongue, friend.
He kind of looks at you. No, I don't.
He says in common.
That's cool. I wonder what that means in his language.
probably means ale is on special.
You know something? Stand back, because I know the universal language, and I stuff awesome. My and I shove my like you know holy symbol in his face.
I mean, can I get a drink first? Oh shit! All right.
God damn it.
Yeah, that's very shiny. Yes, yes. Can I interest you gentlemen in some drinks? We have the finest ale on the island. Only ale on the island, to be honest. It's not easy to brew here, but we make do because we've got customers that need drinking. So, what can I get for you?
I would like some of the finest ale on the island.
Excellent. One mug is 2 gold.
Ooh, that is some pricey ale.
Supply and demand.
Yeah.
I would like a pina colada, please.
He looks.
I'm not sure what one of them is.
He checks the window. No rain, so I don't have to worry about you wandering off. Yeah, okay, I can make you one.
Oh, that exists. That was just some words I like the sound of. Yeah. Okay.
It's a nexus of a bunch of places. They got a bunch of stuff. I mean, he was worried about you getting lost in the rain. So.
Yeah, he doesn't want to get it. He doesn't want to get
I'm not apologizing for that joke, everyone listening. I'm leaving that in.
Oh, hell yeah. That has to stay.
Oh yeah, no, I wouldn't dream of it. If they've been listening this long, that's what they deserve.
All right, I knocked 2 gold out of my inventory. This better be some awesome ale.
2 gold.
Does the pina colada look a lot like ale?
It looks like ale with an umbrella stuck in it.
I only really ordered it for the tiny umbrella.
He knows.
I continue to think silent Toreg thoughts at this guy in the hopes that I will subsume his will.
I'm liking this new strategy.
Puppies.
Are you hunting one of the magical items or going through the Whispering Woods, the Cavern of the Lost, trying to drink the dewdrops of godhood or find the broken angel wings? A lot of reasons people come here.
What's a broken angel wing?
I don't know. No one's ever found one.
Well, okay. Sounds fair. Yeah, we've done all that other shit, so.
Well, I'm kind of keen on finding the big, bad, evil monster that this axe wants me to kill.
Yes, big, bad, evil axe. And he looks down. I've actually been rolling, and no one has noticed your fucking axe yet.
I think it'd be a little more impressive.
Damn it.
Yeah, but you're holding it.
You picked up the axe. Well, that explains the language, at least.
Oh. For all of us?
Yeah, it's, kind of leans in. Eager to please.
Sweet. All right, I'm going to need a room alone.
Oh, great.
Oh, my God. I mean, I've got a vow of celibacy, but I've also got some morbid curiosity to see how this plays out.
So he's going to want the adjoining room. Our mute friend here is going to need a room alone. And, yeah, how much are 4 rooms?
Do you have any rooms
that are in the sea?
Well, to be frank with you, it's normally 5 gold per room. But for the man wielding that axe, it's going to be 10 gold per room.
We're not with him.
Right.
That thing is trouble.
Yeah.
So for 10 gold per room, does that come with all the ale we can drink?
Not even a free mug. No, not a bit.
Not even a diplomacy check?
If I'm paying 10 gold for a room, that's going to be my room.
You guys can't camp in the wilderness. I mean, you have done this before.
It's your room with your axe.
Yeah, that's the only reason I really want a room. I mean, mosquitoes came and bite me outside.
God, that's so seedy.
And maybe, all right, we can go camp in the wilderness, and you know, during my shift, I'll see how eager to please this axe is. It's not pleasing me on room rates.
Uh,
It's not like TripAdvisor there.
Yeah. I'm just picturing Klaus holding this artifact axe, screaming at it about not getting him a better room rate.
Oh, yeah. I'll ask if no one else is. Hey, buddy, what's with the axe hate? How come you're discriminatory against axes?
I suppose we should ask about this.
The axe wielded by the island champion.
Yeah. You got something against champions?
No, not really. I mean, they cause problems. The axe picks pretty indiscriminately, and then, of course, every time there's a champion chosen, the island's natural dark defenders seep out to try and kill him.
And then are they usually successful?
About 50-50. That axe is really strong, but the problem is they keep on coming night after night, making that person's life into sort of an endless hell torment.
I kind of like how this is going.
Yeah, good news, Bevan, you got your own room, definitely.
I mean, yeah. You try to talk to the wizard about it. Sometimes he'll help people, sometimes he won't.
Huh. Well, let me guess, he's in the tower.
Of course he's in the tower. He's a wizard. When is a wizard not in the tower?
After he talks to us, he's definitely not going to help.
Yeah. You say these bad guys come out night after night after night.
Yeah.
About what time should we expect these things to be showing up?
Good question. Oh, I'd say sometime around midnight. Now, they don't always come at first. Sometimes it takes them a day or so to rise up. I don't know, maybe there's a period of leniency, or maybe they just want to see if he'll cut his hands off.
Or if anyone else will. All right.
Yeah.
So let me ask a question. Have any of these so-called champions been champions of Toreg?
You know, most of them didn't last long enough for me to find out.
That's important. Klaus, maybe we shouldn't convert you.
you know what I'm hearing, guys? Experience points.
You know what I'm hearing? Cut off your fucking hands.
Fuck that.
You have a gerbil to jerk you off. What else do you need? Jesus.
Oh, that's what the gerbil's for. Right.
Ron Weasley, Jeremy, no.
That was the sound of, like, hundreds of regular listeners' hearts just breaking for poor old Ron Jeremy. Ron Weasley Jr. Ron Weasley Jeremy Jr. I'm purposely not paying attention to your weasel.
So Vandingo's going to give the guy 10 gold and book himself a room that does not involve axe wielding champions, things hunting axe wielding champions, or Klaus's weasel.
Brandon Firemaster will, of course, book his own room. Not that he doesn't trust you guys, but...
He doesn't trust us.
Yeah, he doesn't trust you guys.
All right, knock off 10 gold, and you will have rooms.
Silas will go sleep on the docks, you know, so as to better make sure that nobody passes without getting, you know, a chance to be converted.
And now Fendigo's going to give the guy another 10 gold and commence to drinking.
Boy, that ambition to make it to the magic shop did not last.
No, I'm still going shopping.
I am too. I was just thinking tomorrow.
I'm taking my umbrella drink with me. I'm going to walk along the pier with my shirt off. I don't have a shirt. It's my environment.
Well, you can buy a shirt and then take it off.
I think I'll take my drink to go as well, if that's okay, because I would like... Yeah, if I'm going to be attacked in the middle of the night, then see what I can find at the magic shop.
Yeah. Bartender, right. A tiny umbrella for my friend, please.
He plunks one down in there. It's Bourbon Street rules. You can drink as long as you're on the pier.
I'll drink the first one, take one to go, and three when I come back.
Okay, we can drink when we're on the pier, but what, if we go into the wilderness, is somebody going to arrest us?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Cops will be on that shit.
Are all of our characters now wearing khaki cargo shorts?
And garish beads.
Seems fair.
Yeah.
And do our mugs have LEDs in the bottom of them so they blink as we walk?
No, those cost extra.
Oh, well, fuck that noise. Took all the pieces, 20.
All right. So are you all going to the next building with the ship on it?
Yep.
Sure.
All right. You walk in to find an elven woman kind of standing at a counter. There are several large books in front of her. Not quite like spell books, more like giant tomes that you would look through. That are like, not small enough to carry around, like clearly meant to be browsed at the table. So she just looks up. Oh, hello, travelers. How may I help you?
Are you willing to add some Toreg tracks to your collection?
I don't think people would be interested in that.
Nonsense! Why wouldn't they be?
What happened to Silently?
I have a bad short-term memory.
God damn, stoner paladins.
We build custom enchanted ships here. Toreg tracks would not really fit the catalogs. She kind of pulls open one of the books easily, and you can see it's just like diagrams of a ship and like little features listed. And none of you can actually read it at first, but as you look, the print sort of shifts and you can make it out.
Oh, this is so boring.
That's useless. What good is a ship when you don't have religion?
Can we get a ship made of cocaine?
She kind of flips through. Ah, yes, the stockbroker special.
How much is the stockbroker special?
Let's see. Oh, it's apparently this one's from a land where they don't use gold. I'm not familiar with what $500 million is, but if you can get us the cocaine, we can probably reproduce it for, say, 50,000 gold.
50,000 gold and a mountain of cocaine. All right.
Bendigo
now has a quest.
Yeah. I'm writing that one down as an objective.
Enough cocaine to build a boat out of it. And then I'm going to need a statue on the boat.
Of you?
No, of
the
Hugh,
cocaine.
Of Hugh Howey. Come on, y'all knew that's where this was going, right?
Beware the shark yachts. Beware the I don't
think we need, I mean, other than the fact that I need a yacht made of cocaine.
If we try to take off on another boat, some of you guys are going to die, right?
Oh, shit, yeah, like me.
Yeah, okay, I think the only person we have who is still gayost is Fandango.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
I like, you know, the boat we got, free rides, you know.
Well, you already paid for your rides.
All right. Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
All right, Silas is walking out of the shop because it's getting a little too meta for him.
Brandon thinks, as much as he's not into material possessions, part of him thinks that he definitely should have his own boat. Some kind of big boat. Yeah, that's something to dwell on. But in the meantime, there's a lot of books and words in here, and it's all very boring and oppressive, so he's going to move on.
Fandango's going in search of cocaine. Lots of cocaine.
All right. So you guys are leaving the boat shop, not buying a magical boat. I can't say I'm shocked, but, you know, it is a harbor. I do have to account for that. All right. So there's a sword and shield, and there's the orb with smoke.
Let's go smoke ship.
Yeah.
Smoky orb.
You walk in, and as soon as you step through, it is very smoky and acrid, and you're all kind of coughing a little bit. And you hear within the smoke someone go, "Oh shit! Fuck customers!" And you hear some words hurriedly being whispered, and the smoke all leaves you and flows back into a crystal ball at the center of a podium, swirling back into the contained glass somehow and being sealed, and revealing a half-elf guy who looks very unprepared for people to stop into his shop. With half-drooped eyes going, "Oh, shit, hey guys, what's up?"
Well, that's what I like to see, truth in advertising.
Smoky Orb Shop. Excellent.
So if somebody were looking for a mountain of cocaine.
Oh, man, I got these guys who come through once. I mean, he kind of stops and looks around. That would be a question you would ask me, not on the clock.
Wink. And your shift ends when?
A couple hours.
All right, cool. What kind of shop is this, my friend?
Oh, this is the magic shop. I'm Gunther. What's up?
Yo, Gunther. So, can you identify magical items?
Yeah, probably. Fuck, hang on. He, like, starts digging around. He comes up with a pair of what look like glasses, but are kind of shimmery and shiny. Okay, all right, fuck it, hang on. All right, I got it. I'm not great with identify, so my dad made me these. They pretty much work. Like, the bloodshot thing fucks with a little bit, but it's, like, 90% good.
All right. Hell, that's pretty good, I mean.
How do you make your eyewear shimmer and reflect like that? Just out of
just curiosity. A side effect of the magic.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Gunther, you know, did you ever leave a robot on another island?
Me? No. Dad did used to like to build robots, though. That was a thing. That was a thing for a while. It's weird.
Is your dad around?
Yeah, he's in the tower, around back. Cool. Getting tired of man in the shop, so I have to do it.
I think we have to kill him.
Oh, you said it out loud.
Of course Silas says it out loud.
Gunther laughs. Man, good luck. You're like the ninth one to try this year. Oh, that old motherfucker, man. He is a piece of shit sometimes, but he's hard to kill.
Before we try that, I found this glove. Right. Fendigo holds out his left hand. Can you tell me what it does?
He leans in. Oh yeah, totally.
Okay. What does it do?
It keeps your hand warm.
He like flips through. Hang on. He pulls out a little book. Fuck. That was about money. Alright. For an item of that level of power, I can charge you 5 gold to find out what it does.
Done. Fendigo pays the man.
Alright. He will accept your payment. And Fendigo, you have an assisting glove.
What does an assisting glove do, Gunther?
You only have one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the wearer of these simple gloves can speak a command word to create a glowing disembodied hand. As a swift action, the wearer can have the hand assist him in tasks if using the aid action another. Like, so you could help somebody from across the room.
Thank God Klaus didn't get this one.
And uses the wearer's base attack bonus for skill ranks when making the check to see if aid is successful. It does not gain the benefit of the wearer's ability scores or other bonuses. The hand remains until it's attempted one action or 1 minute passes, whichever comes first, at which time the glove becomes non-magical.
It's self-lubricating.
So, wait, it's got like one charge?
Looks like it.
Well, that's useful.
Hey, Gunther, would you like to buy an assisting glove?
Oh, man. I rigged up my own thing. And he like pulls out like a couple of like floating lighters, and he's like, "Oh shit, I'm not supposed to show that. Sorry."
All right, step aside. I have a good one for Gunther. Take off my quiver. Can you identify what these invisible magical arrows of Toreg do?
Brandon mimes shaking his head behind him.
He leans in and like adjusts the dial a few times, and then leans out and shakes his head. Man, these must be some fucking dope-ass arrows. I can't even get a glimmer off of them. And, like, these are pretty good specs. Shit, man, sorry, I guess that's beyond me.
Well, it is Toreg, so that is to be expected.
I have a quiver as well. I don't even remember getting it, but I have a quiver with 3 glowing arrows.
Ha, now those I can see!
Well, yeah, because they're less powerful.
Yeah, must be.
And real. I mean, never mind.
Let's see here. Okay. Okay, so he goes, okay, so for 2 of them, I can do it for 10 gold. But one of them's going to be 25.
All right, so 10 gold each.
10 gold each for the...
All right, so total of 45. I'm in.
Cool. All right, well, two of these are just bonuses. Like, they're sharper, faster, stronger. If I were to assign some sort of numeric value, I would say maybe like a plus one.
What? Don't know this, what that means, oh, but this, sure, whatever.
This sweet bitch, this is a searing arrow, man. This plus one flaming arrow continues to burn its target each round, dealing 1d6 points of fire damage on the attacker's turn for the next three rounds. Removing the arrow requires a successful DC 10 heal check and prevents any further damage from the arrow. The DC increases to 15 if the target tries to remove the arrow from himself. Removing the arrow destroys it, and it burns up once the three rounds pass.
Oh, all right. Shit. Okay.
Have him check your stone of uselessness.
Yeah, I'm about to. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm badly tapping out my stats. I would like to also identify my small pouch with a rock inside.
He kind of picks it up. Oh shit, man! Nice. We keep a bunch of these around the house. This is a freebie, man. These are super easy. He like just flicks it, and it starts, and it floats off and lights up.
Oh.
So this is called an ion torch. So basically, it retains the ability to float in orbit, allowing the bearer to carry light and still have their hands free.
Okay. So does that
circling,
I mean,
around
does
your
that
head, lighting?
Does that like have charges, or I can do that anytime I want?
Anytime you want.
All right, cool. That's, I mean, the arrows, I assume, I lose after using them, right?
You can roll to try and recover the plus one ones. The searing one specifically says it breaks when you use it, so that's a one done. But I'll give you maybe like a 20% chance to recover one of your plus one arrows.
Awesome.
Okay, Brandon will put his put the jeweled part of his hot pants on the guy's desk and say, could you appraise this?
Kind of looks at you, looks down at the glasses. I'm not seeing any magical auras coming off of that.
Well, I don't know what your problem is, my friend. It's clearly the most magical experience you've ever had.
Kind of shakes his head. Maybe Dad's right. Maybe I shouldn't smoke on the job.
Well, I for one am entirely disappointed with this shopping experience.
Oh, shopping! You guys want to buy shit? You should have said something, man.
No, yeah. I just wanted to be told that my pants are really cool.
Oh, your pants are awesome, man. They're just not magic.
Well, I like to think they're magic in the same way that a sunset is magical, or that, you know, the stars at night are magical, and that I am magical.
Yes, but he can still see your pants, unlike my arrows. So that means your pants are less than them.
Yeah. You're supposed to be quiet.
This feels like we're leading down a weird path where Brandon gets rid of his pants and strolls around naked, claiming to be wearing invisible trousers.
Actually, invisible pants of Toreg. That would be good to go.
That's how we got rid of Silas, by leaving him behind in a dungeon for public indecency.
Oh my god. Do you have potions?
Oh shit. You're talking to Gunther, man. Potions is like the only thing I'm fucking good at.
Gunther, my boy. How about some like cure moderate wounds potions? What'll those set me back? And you know, like, what's the bro discount?
Let's see, for a cure mod. Man. All right. I'm supposed to upsell, but you guys seem cool, so
thanks,
I'll give
bro.
It to you. I'll give it to you for 300. That's the real price, not the "you're on an island with shit choices" price.
All right. Fuck it. All right, Gunther. I'm gonna take two of those.
Cool.
Gunther, I am interested in, not so much in potions. I'm interested in some kind of defensive magical items.
Oh,
what have we got?
I can show you the stock, but like I'll just hang on. Let me give him a shit.
That's because Klaus is already offensive enough.
Fandango, knock off 600 gold, add 2 cure moderate wounds, and Gunther slips a small baggie of something in there into your hand as well. He kind of gives
word.
You a wink and a nod.
Dig it.
You're a bard. He just knows what's up.
Hey, it's jazz, baby. It's all jazz.
All right, so you want defensive stuff. Like, do you want, like, shields and shit? Because, like, the dude across the way is really more that kind of guy.
No, I need magical shit.
Like rings and shit, maybe.
Rings or bracers or boots or, nipple clamps or whatever you got.
All right. Let me check the index. He pulls out, like, a tome and just starts flipping, and you can see the words shifting constantly as he's moving. Oh, my God, this thing's giving me such a fucking headache. Dad, you're a piece of shit. All right, bro, let's see. I can do... Oh, looks like we got some braces of armor in stock. Those always sell pretty well. They make you stronger against getting hit, I guess is how I put it. I don't know. My dad has a note scrawled in here that says, remind people that this doesn't work in conjunction with armor.
Am I wearing armor? I think I am.
But if you were wearing invisible clothing of Toreg, it would work perfectly with it.
Yeah, so out of game, Bevan, basically, braces of armor occupy your armor slot on your AC, so you can wear them instead of armor.
Right.
But you can't lump it onto the same.
Right. Where do I even look to see if I have armor? I think I have some kind of armor.
Does that kind of armor encumber a monk at all?
It does not. It does not.
Oh, no, I got leather armor. Never mind.
Excellent.
Well, what's the armor bonus for bracers of armor?
If I were to put some sort of numerical value upon it...
sort of random numerical number. Just
like pulling it out of nowhere. We've got a bunch of the low-end shit, which is a thou for... if I were to put a number like a plus one.
Right.
And then we got 4K for... And again, just like out of nowhere numbering it plus two.
And what about like your best shit?
Oh, man, the good shit? I mean, it does stock I guess you would think of it as like a plus three for 9K. But a lot of people come through here with that kind of scratch.
Yeah.
Now, if you wanted something else.
Like rings or amulets? Or...
Not a lot of rings that'll do that for you, but we got an amulet. We only got a couple of these, but it's an amulet that like sort of increases your natural toughness, like your skin armor, like your natural armor, by plus one for 2,000.
Do you have any amulets that make you like a better spellcaster?
My dad says that's practice.
Yeah, but you know, practice is hard, man.
All right, do you have something you're specifically looking for here?
Just like something that would give me an extra spell per day.
Ooh, Jesus. I think there might be Johnstones that do that.
You know, it's the only one with any real healing floating around. Having an extra spell a day might be a good idea.
He's going to, I guess, just rub. No, nothing like that on hand.
All right. That's cool, man.
Sorry, not a lot of stuff, like, for the casters. Dad says that we're here to serve the lower people.
I'm the lower people?
Yeah, Dad's kind of a dick.
What kind of rings do you have? Not defensive, but just out of curiosity. What do you got?
Let's see. Not a huge amount. Well, we got some rings of swimming. Those are always in style around here, buddy.
Intriguing.
Yeah, I can think of at least one person in our group that could use those.
Rings of well diving.
How much does a ring of swimming go for?
Ring of swimming, that'll set you back. Oh, it's not bad. It's only 2,500.
Do you have any rings or belts that make people stronger?
Oh, I know. Do you have that fisting amulet?
I beg your pardon?
Oh, yeah, the amulet of mighty fisting. That's what I thought, too. He, like, hands up, he puts up his nux.
All right, yeah, the amulet of mighty fist.
That's what I meant. Nux?
Dude, oh, don't leave him hanging.
Sorry, I thought I went without saying. Yeah, that happened just automatically.
All right. Yeah, man. Yeah, we got some scrappers who roll through here. We got one of the plus one ones. You know, again, if I were to just put a thing on it, that'll only run you like 4,000 gold. But Dad also made a plus two one that you can get for 16,000. So pretty smooth.
Oh, that's a shame. I don't have 16. How gaudy is this amulet?
Oh, it's so fucking gaudy. It's on gold. It's like a big fist with diamonds in it.
Sweet. Sold. I'll take the amulet for 4,000, please.
Oh, no. That's the 16K. Is that cool?
Oh, no. I mean, how gaudy is the 4,000 one?
Yeah, it's less gaudy.
Ah.
He kind of looks you guys up and down. Actually, you guys look kind of poor.
Yeah.
Did you not see my pants? Are these the pants of a poor man?
You're rich in style, but you're poor in gold.
Well, that's true.
But, I mean, I can't help but notice one of you's holding the axe of the island champion.
Right. How much is that worth to you?
Oh, nothing, man. That's a piece of shit. I mean, it's super strong, but the drawbacks are, like, fucking terrible. Not even I get fucked up enough to grab that. But it is pretty useful in terms of shit you can get done. So, you know, my dad likes to make shit. Obviously, we're a place with supplies. He hates going out. So, he's always telling me to take initiative. I'm going to take some fucking initiative. I'm going to give out a task.
Wait, let me ask a question first. You can see this axe, right?
Yeah, it's right there.
So your axe sucks compared to my arrows.
It at least has a worse invisibility charm on it.
So... All right, so about this task.
Yeah, actually, all right. So Dad's trying to fulfill some enchanting work for the ship lady. So I bet if you could go deep into the mountain and get him some crystal tulips, he can use those as crafting ingredients. They're fucking super sweet and super useful and such a pain in the ass to get, because there's a lot of stuff that tries to kill you on the way in.
Our flower guy's busy at the minute, but I guess we could go I guess we could wait for him.
How good is your word here? You're guessing that your dad might, you know, find this valuable.
But, I can afford to pay you out of petty cash. Like, let's say, if you can bring me back at least 10, that would be optimum. 15 would probably be the most I could buy. And I could spend, he kind of flips through his index for a little bit. All right, going rate, calculate the, no, I don't want to do this. 10,000. I'll pay you 10,000 gold per tulip.
Ooh.
But it gotta be undamaged, man. My dad's a real fucking prick about that. Like, if you bring me something back cracked, it's no good.
Do you have any kind of bag or anything to where if we put stuff in it, it would be protected, or... like it's bigger on the inside, like a blue bag box.
Like a bag, yeah, a bag that could hold tulips.
Do you mean a bag of holding? Like they have it.
Yeah. Game. Are you holding? A whole bag of holding?
This guy's fucking cool. Yeah, man, I got one I could save for 2,500.
Oh, I'd like to buy that.
How many do you have?
Oh, tons. It's a number one seller. I couldn't believe how many people try to fuck with this place without a bag of holding. It's ridiculous.
I'm subtracting 2,500.
A Yep. Same here.
Who all's buying a bag of holding?
I am.
Fandango is definitely buying a bag of holding.
Brandon, you were put in charge of Bjorg's finances before he left. Does he need a bag of holding?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Oh, sure, give the guy a bag of holding.
How much shit can a bag of holding hold?
You are getting a type 1 bag of holding. So you can hold up to 250 pounds.
That's excellent.
That sounds useful, but I'm not wearing a bag. I might take those. Did you mention you had some armor braces for 4,000 gold?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I had some. Yeah, I had some for 4,000. No, I think I only had the 1,000s.
And I bet they're just not as visually attractive as the 4,000 ones as well.
As always, man, they're pretty normal looking. Actually, I do have a bag you might like. My dad didn't make it. He bought it off some dude. He guy was strapped for cash. He bought it real low, so... not a lot of people have liked it because of the style, but you seem like the kind of dude who might be down for this. And he rummages around, and Fandango and Klaus have both gotten normal-looking bags of holding. The one he pulls out for you is smaller, a little more compact. It wraps around and cinches behind the back. You might describe it as a fanny pack of holding.
Well, I am drawn to this item. How much for that wonderful bag?
Well, it doesn't, like, you can't fit as much through the front. It'll hold as much, but, like, smaller shit. So, only 15 for this one. 1,500.
Sold. Got type 1 fanny pack now?
You have a fanny pack of holding. 250 pounds, but you have to be able to fit it through the mouth of a fanny pack.
I'm not concerned with its practicality in the slightest.
He bedazzled his dick. He is not worried about the...
Say what you know about Gunther. He has a good knack for matching the right person with the right product.
You tell, I like Gunther. I'll take the cheaper braces for now and see if I can bedazzle them upon my way.
All right. 1,000 gold and add plus 1 to your AC.
Cool.
So, Gunther, bro, do you have, like, some smaller, soft, normal bags and, like, some padding and shit so when we go get these crystal tulip whatever the fucks, we can wrap them up so your dad doesn't, like, bone us on the fucking cash, yeah?
Well, I think if they're in a bag of holding, they're not going to be clanking around with anything.
They're pretty much in a sustained space.
All right. Cool.
Although, if you really wanted to be fancy, you could put them in one bag of holding, then put them in another bag of holding.
Nice. All right, well, do you guys have any more magical shopping business to conduct?
I think we might want to go look at the armor-ish shopping business.
Oh, no, this is Gunther asking you.
Yeah. Nah, bro, I think, I'm good.
Okay, well, that was the wizard shop experience. I'm trying to branch out on my own. Welcome to Gunther's Botanical Industrial Magic Shop. If you guys would like to partake in the wares, ale's expensive here. I have other options. And he like starts pulling out an alchemy bag. All right, now this will get you really fucked up for 5 minutes, but if you don't take the antidote right away, you will die. So
let me ask a question
on this one.
What do you have that will let me speak Rhetoric?
Oh. He leaves in, kind of rummages around. Pulls out a, like a small container filled with, actually looks like moss. He sets it down. This is like the elf version of shrooms. If shrooms took shrooms. If you don't talk to God on this, it's probably not a god, I guess.
Is Silas actively trying to get re-excommunicated?
I have no idea what Silas is thinking. I am just playing with shopkeepers.
Oh. All right. I'm interested in speaking to my god. How much for these holy shrooms?
The moss is pretty pricey, man. It's 100 gold.
Per.
He holds up a small little container. Per dose.
How long will you stay fucked up for 100 gold?
Oh, man. I would clear the day.
Fandango, hand over 500. I would like five chances to speak to Toreg.
Dude, I've only got two on hand. I gotta smuggle this shit in.
Okay, end of 200.
Done.
You now there have two little containers of moss that will get someone basically fucked all the way up for a day.
How do I use these?
It's an edible. They have to eat it.
All right. Toreg, here I come.
Just gonna down
it. Oh no, I'm gonna wait till till maybe we're we're camped for the night or so.
That's surprisingly restrained of you.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure at this point you're camping in the woods all alone. So what else you got over there? Something that might only last an evening, or something that I could put in an ale to punch it up a little bit.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he kind of digs around a little more. He sets down a little vial. All right. These are tears of a nymph. Real good, real smooth, high. You mix it with booze. One thing, don't kill a tree for a day afterward. You'll get some weird
side effects. I'm a coward, bro. I can't kill nothing.
All right, yeah. So don't fuck with a tree, and you'll be good. But yeah, it's pretty straight. It's pretty good. It only lasts a few hours. It's nice. It's nice. Might I also recommend one of my own Guntherventions?
Let's hear about the Gunvention.
Yeah, one of my own Guntherventions, which you saw as you came in. He reaches down and he pulls out an orb filled with smoke that looks exactly like what's on the sign. I don't think Dad realized what I was advertising when I put that up, but fucking awesome, right?
Yeah.
You say the command word, it spits out the smoke, man. Instant hot box.
Dude.
The smoke is perfectly made from different herbs and alchemic recipes designed to make you have a nice, good evening. But I should, again, add this one thing. Whatever you do, do not set anything on fire around it. It is highly flammable.
Idea, guys.
Yeah, they've got a lot of caveats that are really specific to things we just do accidentally.
It's almost like Gunther's not very good at this.
No, this is a this is a perfect weapon.
So Gunther,
we throw it at the big bad guy who Klaus has to fight. He gets high as fuck, and then Klaus fires that searing arrow into it. Instant win.
There are some creative potential uses.
So Gunther, bro. Can we get a demo before we buy?
I can't do the moss stuff. That's a little too niche.
Smoke your thing.
Oh, yeah, totally. I gotta finish this one out. He pulls out one that's half full. It's clearly the one he was using when you guys came in. It's awesome. Now I can write this off as a demo.
Alright, bro. You know, I'm down with you. You guys gonna get lit with me, or are you running the fuck out of the store right now?
I'm cool.
So while holding a cursed axe that may or may not be tempting dark creatures to kill you, you feel like this is a good time to get drunk and then fucked up on weird alchemic weed.
Wait, how long did you say this lasted?
A couple hours.
What time? About what time is it?
It's sunset. The sun's been going down for a while.
Oh, yeah, they said around midnight. That's fine. It's a maybe even then. We're cool.
Fire up that boy up, Gunther.
He says his command word, and smoke fills the entire room once again.
What is the command word? I'm curious.
Gunther time.
Sweet. So, Gunther, bro, how much is one of these things?
They're only 10 gold. I try to price them as low as I can to, you know, get the stock moving and spread the word. I'm trying to build an industry. See, my dad thinks I don't have any ambition, but he's wrong, man. I'm going to show him.
That's right, bro. We'll show his ass how many of these you got in stock.
How much gold you got.
Well, I'll buy 10.
He will happily sell you 10.
Does Gunther have Doritos?
Guys, have you ever, like, really looked at your abs? Just, like, really looked at them?
I'm a bard, bro. I don't have abs.
I somehow didn't think you guys would get high with the burnout wizard's son. I don't know how I didn't think this would happen.
You put a burnout wizard's son in a shot and offered us the option. Yeah, how did you not know that?
Yeah, no, how is this not a foregone conclusion? This is clearly failure on my part.
Yeah, I'm like,
So what happens if I'm sucking on this smoke and then I decide to eat the Toreg moss?
Only one way to find out.
Yeah, there's literally only one way to find that out, man.
All right.
Assume you already
down one.
Do you tell anyone you're dropping moss, or are you just sneaking that into your mouth?
Oh, I'm just tossing it in while everybody's like, your head is around in the clouds.
Give me.
Sounds like a good idea to me.
Perception checks.
Can we give you give a fuck checks? Because I don't think we care.
Yeah, take your perception checks at a -5, by the way.
All right. I'm going to do a perception check. No guarantee I'm going to alert anyone.
Yeah. And yes, you, John, you all have to roll perceptions. This is just a thing. You either see it or you don't. How you react to it is entirely up to you.
Word.
All right. Klaus rolls a 13, counting the -5 bonus.
Brandon Fymaster rolls a 13, counting the -5 plus the -1 for his shades.
With the -5, Fandingo rolls a 3.
And I guess Silas knows. Okay, Brandon and Klaus can notice Silas clumsily, like, cracking open a container, pulling out a thing of moss, and throwing it down his mouth.
Klaus would like to sip on his beverage.
Brandon bring a robe. Follow suit.
Well, you guys just... You're like, civilization at last! And you found the most direct route to party that you could.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is why we're the worst adventuring party ever.
The best.
I'm a champion. I'm the champion.
You are... Silas is beginning to feel very relaxed.
Wow, that's uncharacteristic.
Do I see Toreg yet?
You see smoke, and in the smoke you feel like you see visions. And
like check them out.
It's like you see dwarves and hammers and stone, and you feel inspired.
He starts reciting poetry. I'm the fuck out of here, man.
He is mumbling softly to himself, but it is incoherent. His eyes are like huge. He's basically slumped over in a corner. Silas is functionally useless for the next 24 hours. I really could not have been more clear about that.
So I'd like to talk to Gunther. All right, you know about this axe. What do you know about the big bad that come to get people wielding the axe?
Oh man, it's just a play. It's been played out so many times. Echoes through history.
Dude,
literally told me nothing.
But he's making so much sense.
That's so fucking deep, man.
What happens when the battle is over?
We're probably dead, bro.
I mean, like, imagine you were an axe forged for one really specific purpose. And there was a creature who existed almost entirely to kill you, the axe. So what happens when one of them wins?
I guess we're about to find out. For I'm the champion.
It's right there. You'll get it. You'll get it.
I got it.
So, Gunther, bro, our dickhead of a paladin is, like, too fucked up to move. Do you have some place we can, like, stash him for a day?
I mean, you could just buy him a room over at the inn.
Yeah, but then we'd have to care enough to move him.
Well, he can't stay here, man. Come closing time, the shop kicks everybody out.
Shit. Alright. Guys, I have a great idea. Bjorg is sad.
That's a great idea.
We should make Bjorg happy.
Oh, even better.
Brandon's got all of Bjorg's money. We should buy him a sword.
Or a hooker.
No, we should buy him a sword and me a hooker.
Or a hooker sword.
A sword with a hook?
Anyway,
don't
I'm back.
Buy me a sword, because that wouldn't be real good. Let's go get Bjorg a sword.
Get him a sword. Or maybe some kind of cape. Maybe a delightful cape.
Hey, Gunther, do you have a delightful cape?
He kind of flips through the index. I got cloaks.
Are any of them delightful?
Yeah, a couple of them.
All
right. I'm interested in cloaks. What kind of cloaks you got, Gunther?
Cloaks aren't really my thing.
Ever since Cloak Boy ruined them for you?
Yeah. Also, they cover you up, which is not what I'm about.
Well, let's see. For you, dude, there's one called the Cowardly Crouching Cloak.
That sounds awesome. What is that?
It lets you cover your face and drop into a huddling crouch. And if you do, awesome. It's so pathetic that some things won't attack you.
I think we just call that a cloak, don't we?
Yeah, I'm definitely getting a cloaky vibe off of that one.
Yeah. But that doesn't sound delightful, bro.
Thought it would work for him. I've got like a real stylish one that's a cloak that helps you resist things like the elements and like pain and like stuff.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, if I were like, you know, put it into, like, defined terms, I would say it made your fortitude, reflex, and will slightly better. Like, maybe plus one better.
Alright. And it's, like, stylish and shit?
Yeah, I think it's stylish. It's 1,000 gold. Better be fucking stylish.
You ain't wrong there, man. What do you think, Brandon? Does Bjorg need a cloak? Or a sword?
I don't know. I seem to recall that he enjoys swords.
Yeah.
And I seem to remember that cloaks are dicks. Cloaks are dicks. I need to get out of this shop.
I'm freaking all right. Out. Let's go take your bedazzled junk and go to the sword store.
But I want to ask before that if, Gunther, do you sell magic swords here or are we better off looking for a magic sword at the sword shop?
Oh, no, you definitely want to go to the sword shop. We couldn't enchant what you've got, but, like, Dad doesn't like stocking that shit because he's like, oh, no, I'm competitive. Da-da-da-da-da. Be nice to our neighbors, fucking old man. And as he's talking, you see, like, his globe in the center, this little crystal ball, start flashing red. And he goes, oh, shit. He, like, slaps it. It's like, no more Gunther time. And the smoke just... right back in. You're still high, but it's not. The room is no longer hotboxed. He's like, sorry, guys. Fucking that is the closing time bell. So you got to go because I'm going to get kicked out too. Like, fucking everybody shuts down because I used to throw some ragers in here and my dad didn't know. And then he found out and then he was not happy about it.
All right.
All right.
All this talk of cloaks was worrying me anyway. Let's get out of here.
Come on, Silas. Follow us.
I can feel my soul melting.
Silas, as you stumble out of the smoke-free world, you feel the salty air. Oh, and it feels like a warm breath of Toreg's love. And you look off and you see in the far distance clouds. And they do not look like Toreg's love.
But the salty sea air feels like it?
Yeah, you feel good. You feel good.
Dive off the dock.
You feel bad. Okay. roll me a fortitude check to see if you can conjure that much movement in your body.
Fortitude. Natural one.
You piss yourself.
I have become Klaus.
Not even.
Klaus, he's stealing your move.
I'm the champion.
Just like to think that in his head, he's taking this elegant swan dive into the love of Toreg.
The world is swimming through the ocean, but he's
swaying side to side,
standing here pissing.
Just pissing this huge river down his leg.
Toreg's love is warm, isn't it? It'll grow cold soon, friend.
And then your chunk will rust. All right, sword store.
Sword store.
You guys go across, and you find that the door is closed, because of course it is. It's been nighttime for a while.
So can we get back to the inn?
Yeah, I mean, it's still right there.
Well, I mean, because we had to walk through the ship store.
Yes, as you walk through the ship store, you notice that everything's been kind of sealed off, and you're just in a hallway at this point.
All right, well, let's go back to the inn. I suppose well, fuck it, I have all of Stoner Boy's money, so I give him keep another 10 gold, and I suppose now we put Silas to bed.
That's very responsible of us.
We should draw dicks on his face.
Oh, yeah, that's totally drawing a dick on his face.
Right. Yeah, I still have ink and quill, so we can do that.
Yeah.
All right.
Do we have to roll anything for that, or is Silas just way too fucked up to stop us?
Yeah, he's pretty much just going with it right now. I mean, he tried to jump in the water and piss his pants. That's the level of self-control Silas is rocking at this point.
So we're all just drawing dicks on Silas's face.
Maybe we can get him to draw a dick on his own face.
I don't trust him. I think he's, you know, we got an art thing going on here, and he's just gonna fuck it up. We can draw the dicks.
Yeah, he's right.
Okay, well, let's prop him at a table.
Well, all right. Let's bring him to the room.
I mean, we don't tell.
There's no mirrors, right? We don't tell him there's dicks on his face, but he can find that out in the morning when he comes back down.
Morning. I believe I said this lasts for a whole day.
Or tomorrow night, whatever.
Yeah.
Does he have a mirror?
We'll draw some dicks on his face and go get sloppy.
Yeah. So you draw dicks on his face, throw him in the room. I really loved the idea of propping him to the table, like throw Brandon shades on him and just Weekend at Bernie's Silas.
Yeah, but Fandango is stoned and has 3 more beers already paid for at this bar. So Fandango's getting fucked up.
So you guys have finally found civilization. You spoke experimental alchemic smoke, and you're now getting pissed drunk in a bar.
That's what happens when you smoke alchemic experimental smoke. That's
what happens. The shops are closed. You
That's what happens when you listen to the bard, bro.
All right, you guys will all, I guess, just drink until you pass out, per the usual.
Yeah.
Klaus, you fall asleep with the axe still in your hand.
Sure.
And when you sleep, you have strange dreams. You see a bunch of moving shadows and something kind of crawling out from deep within the island. It's whispering your name, and it's reaching for you. And it's just, at the very end, as it's closing its claws around you, you hear,
Mom?
But then the smoke kicks in, and you have, like, some good dreams.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Yeah. But that weird grasping one happens, like, two more times. Like, it's fucking... It sticks.
Well.
And that's probably as good a point as any to cut off for the week. You guys have a lot of options. You can go do more shopping. You can go hunt crystal flowers for a lot of money. You can deal with Klaus's thing. So think it over. And at next game, we will see what you guys want to do. But we are not done yet. As you folks know, we do take questions during the live blog, which you can follow at facebook.com/authorsanddragons. And during that time, you can submit questions, and we will answer them here if we feel like it. Rick's going to lead us through, so Rick, take it away.
All right. Here's a good one from our friend Jeffrey. How do you guys handle character versus character conflicts such as Klaus versus Silas so that it doesn't ever escalate to player versus player conflict?
Don't.
Yeah.
Well, no, seriously, I think that comes down to being a grown-ass adult. So says Robert Bevan.
The fucking paragon of maturity himself.
It's like Silas and Klaus might hate each other, but, you know, Rick and Bevan only kind of dislike each other.
No. Listen, I mean, outside of Steve, whom I'm, you know, currently writing a work with, I mean, the person I message the most is probably Rick. Ask him for advice and shit. I mean,
it cracks me up because I have gotten a few, like, you know, comments or so. Basically, people thinking that, like, the whole Klaus versus Silas thing is actually a real Rick versus Bevan thing. It's like, guys, it's a game.
Yeah, it's a comedy podcast. Yeah, it's a comedy angle. Podcast.
Yeah, the conflict actually makes it pretty hilarious.
Yeah. I can understand where they're funnier.
I can understand where the question's coming from, though, because I was in a live group with, you know, guys that have been friends for years, and we drinking and playing, and one guy got a sword that was cursed, and he was the only one that knew it, and he was just being a dick to everyone else, and and that started to get, like, outside the game personal, and that was fun.
But, you gotta be taking it more seriously than we do to have those kind of conflicts.
Yeah. I know. In my last game, one of the guys got mad at my character because it was like our whole thing was like we're supposed to be building up this kingdom, and my character had gotten his, like, you know, his alignment changed from, like, neutral to evil. So of course he's, like, doing his best to fuck it up. And the guy was getting really mad. He's like you're, like, you're destroying what we're building here. And I was like, what are we building here? I was like we're building, like, a Lego castle. You know, after you knock it down, you don't have anything. You know. It's like getting angry over a video game. It's like, you know, once that video game is off your hard drive, you have nothing left.
Oh, don't say that. That's depressing.
Yeah. Well, Rick's giving us all an existential crisis for the night. So thanks, Rick. Now we hate Rick for real. I'm
My crisis is an existential. My PS4 shit the bed last week, so fuck.
And right before the Doomfist drop. That sucks.
You're fisting who? What?
Overwatch, man. Good game. PS4.
Yeah, eventually it'll be cheap enough. I'm a really cheap fuck when it comes to getting video games. I wait for them to hit, like, $20 at GameStop, and then I'm in.
It's alright. That's why I'm still playing. Because every Overwatch player just snapped their phone in half going, PC banner!
All right,
Rick, I feel like we're done with that one. What do you
got? We're gonna pull back from this level of geek right here. All right, let's see here. Chris asks, one for Steve. How's progress on the Brandon Thymaster project?
Oh, it's progressing. Yeah, it's gonna be a novella, so looking between 20,000 and 30,000 words. It's about 24,000 words and coming up for the final, I won't spoil anything. It's coming up for the finale. I might,
the final flex off.
The final flex. It might be a final flex off. You might have just spoiled that, Rick, as if anyone could not have guessed that might happen. But, I guess I might chuck a few excerpts up on the Facebook page closer to the release date, just for funsies. So keep an eye out for that.
Yours or Authors and Dragons?
Oh, or the Authors and Dragons site, I guess, yeah.
Yeah. Well, actually, might as well do it everywhere.
Yeah.
I think we're all looking forward to seeing this one, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's going well. There's an actual story. It's not just pages and pages describing Brandon's musculature, which
yeah,
I was originally going
to
do.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, because it might give us a template to follow. We're doing our own stories.
Yeah.
I think that would actually be great. Like, you know, one page devoted to every muscle of the body.
Just this epic bardic poem about every single muscle on his body.
And the reason my lower minor deltoid is impressive.
Yeah, so speaking of muscles, Rick, what did you do to yourself?
I was trying to kill a fly and I hurt myself.
Natural one.
Yeah, I know that was a life. You know, I think when I talk to my wife tomorrow, that's going to be fighting off a burglar.
Yeah.
So in a way, the fly won the fight.
Oh, yeah.
You were hurt, but it wasn't. Off.
No, I hit the fly, so it's kind of mutually assured destruction.
Oh. So you took him down, but he got one last swing in.
He took me with him.
It was a Pyrrhic victory. Yep.
And it freaking hurts. So, I'm like, I actually might have to see a doctor because of this.
Lie to the doctor. Lie to the
yeah,
doctor.
Yeah, lie. Yes.
Yeah, just tell him it was a wanking injury. That's way less embarrassing.
It's a grizzly bear. This is New Jersey. What kind of bears are in New Jersey?
Chris
Flying bears.
All right.
Christopher asks, can we get a running checklist of things Brandon has punched and what he's learned from it? You know, he's like, I'm sure some Uber fan already has it. I would hope so, because I'm sure shit none of us have it.
Yeah. My answer was going to be no.
Are all of our fans named Chris?
And they're all one guy.
We have seemed to have an overabundance of Chris fans. So Chris is of the world. If you know somebody, if your friends named other things, have them listen to the podcast.
Actually, tell you what, the first person to DM us with a complete list of everything Brandon has punched on the podcast wins a free copy of the Brandon Firemaster short story.
Whoa.
There we go.
Check the page before you send it, because we'll post once someone has claimed that.
Yeah.
I don't want people having to go through all those episodes and find out, like, what do you mean you gave it away 2 weeks ago?
No, don't check the page. Just do the work again. It'll be fine.
I guess it's cheating, you know, if I look this shit up before we air this.
I would say somebody can probably, like, you know, submit a list of anything. You know, I'm not going to look it up.
Yeah, so right. Now I have to look it up. I should have thought about that before I open my mouth. Oh, well. That was a bad good idea. Get to it, guys.
Oh. That's we have one other there, but it's a joke question, so we can save that.
Oh, all right. Yeah, we have to. Sadly, Joe had to miss this week. I don't even remember why.
He had to pick his wife up at the airport or
That's
something?
That's right. Yeah, he had to pick his wife up at the airport.
I was going to say, he was on a mountain, but that was, I think that was last week's. He had to pick his wife up at an airport on a mountain.
He had to fight his way up a mountain. Yes. To pick up his wife.
Out of all of us, he's the most likely to be able to fight his way up a mountain.
Yeah, that was the excuse we used when he missed Contraflow, that he was in the mountains dueling bears.
Yeah. Joe would not hurt himself killing a fly.
No. He also wouldn't use an electric racket, which I don't even know what the fuck that is.
Well, it's one of those battery operated rackets. You hit a fly, it pretty much, like, you know, explodes into like sparks.
They're kind of satisfying when they work.
Yes.
But
like a bug zapper.
Yes.
Only it's a racket.
Exactly.
Yeah. You've never seen these.
No, but I kind of want one. What happens if you hit somebody?
It's run by batteries. You're not going to kill somebody.
Yeah.
Can you hotwire it?
Yes.
I've toyed with the idea of licking it, but I haven't gotten around to it yet.
I'll give you a dollar.
I mean, that feels like a live stream opportunity, if ever there was one.
Yeah, I'll say this. I have actually one of the high-powered ones, and like if you touch it with the buttons on, yeah, it kind of stings, but you know, it's like holding a shock pen. Yeah.
You put it on your wheelie, didn't you?
That's where the fly landed.
Yeah, why do you think I hurt myself?
Seems fair. On that note...
That's your cue, Rick.
On that note, we have no more questions.
Oh.
Yeah, that was actually your cue, Drew.
Oh, sorry. Well, then I guess on the image of Rick slapping his penis with a electric racket, we're going to leave you for this week. And I am just
Sweet
so
dreams.
Sorry that is how we are doing it, but, well, it's where we are. So please come back in 2 weeks, although I'll understand if you don't.
Although, if any fan artists out there, now you have an issue. Now you have an issue.
Or this could be a higher Patreon tier where Rick actually films himself doing this.
Or a lower Patreon tier. And the higher it goes, the more clothes Rick will wear when he smacks himself with the racket.
This is the story of how we accidentally started a fetish site. I want you to all know that. And recognize what's happening. All right, well, I guess we'll see you on Authors and Dragons and BDSM. Till next time, bye.
Bye.
Authors and Dragons is brought to you under a Creative Commons license, meaning you are free to share this material so long as credit is given to the original creators, which is us, the people who are playing it. The opening music, Take a Chance, and closing theme, Master of the Feast, are both credited to Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com and also used under a Creative Commons license.